In the late 1970s, of course, Orioles magic was born. Rick Dempsey on that experience.
I'm kind of proud of that because, you know, that kind of began where Oriole magic was. It just got bigger and bigger and louder all the time. And we were a huge part of Oriole magic, the team that we had there. You know, it started with Doug DeSense hitting game-winning home runs and Eddie Murray getting, and Ken Singleton, you know, and playing the great defense that we played. And so every time you hear it now, it is getting louder and louder all the time. And it really brings joy to your heart to hear it because we have a following now that is every bit as strong as any New York Yankee team ever had. We may not have as many followers, but the ones that we do have totally believe in us, and they believe in this new team. It's fun to watch. It's fun to be a part of.
Now, a lot of people have compared Earl Weaver to Buck Showalter. There are some similarities, and there are some obvious differences. Here's one of the all-time great Oriole left-handers, Scott McGregor.
Buck is like Earl Weaver, but not vocal. You know? I mean, he's the same way around. He demands the guys to do things right. He will get on guys when they mess up, but he doesn't do it like Earl, just blowing it out. He'll fight with Dempsey or whatever he wanted to do, but he's like a duck, you know. I've heard you guys talk about it. He just sits there in his calm little thing, but his little feet are going, man. He's got his wheels turning. He's very well prepared. Like Earl was one of the first guys. He used to have Charles getting the stats and you know matchups against guys. And so I mean, being with him, the times I've been with him over the last few years, he's intimidating with what he knows and how he's prepared, you know. So I think they're very similar in the ways they do things, and I think that has brought itself to light with this ball club now because it's the same thing. It's like, what do we have in 83? We had the Three Stooges, you know, we had Dempsey and Dower and Todd Cruz at the end, you know. Right now you've got the guys at the end of the lineup, they're producing. It's like something new every night, and that's what it was with us.
For the 1992 season, of course, the Orioles left Memorial Stadium on 33rd Street and came to downtown Baltimore to 333 West Camden Street. Here's Chris Hoyles on that transition.
About 92, how we sold every, you know, we were playing in front of sellout crowds every single night, which is it's a huge tribute to the fans of Baltimore and the way they back their sports teams here. And I think, you know, what BJ said about the Ravens, I think they've done the same thing. And now that both teams are winning, I think it's a huge, huge boost to this city of Baltimore and their fans, because they are a great, great fan. So for me personally, it was, it took a little while, you know, once I got here, but you have guys like Cal Sr. that was here, Elrod that was here from the catching position. It made me feel at home. You have great players like Cal and some of the veteran guys that, you know, Brady, it just guys like that, they just helped you feel at home and you just fit in.
At the trade deadline in 1996, Baltimore reacquired one of their all-time greats in Eddie Murray. Here's Eddie on that trade.
That was a great moment, really, because I was done in Cleveland. You know, some things had occurred there, and I kind of told them if they wanted to fight, wanted me to talk to you guys, that we would get in this battle. But it was nice to come back, and when I came back, you start to take a survey of this locker room. We got some good ball players, but they were really underachieving. And once I got here, I just thought there was some little clicks. And you had to get in there and break that crap up. You got to play together. And I walked by Davey's locker office, I think day four, and all I did was look in there, and I just went, wow, you know. And I told him, I'll get it. And, you know, you had to break them up. You know, we had to play this game together. And, I mean, you got three guys, a whole lineup had 20 home runs. That doesn't happen often. But, you know, they were just not playing together. And it was a good ball club. I mean, it's amazing. Guys can go out there and do things individually and still not have a good year. And I think when I got here, we were 11 games behind the Yankees that year. We should have actually overtaken them, you know. But it took a couple of days to break that stuff up, but we got on a roll. I mean, we should have actually beat them in the playoffs.
The Orioles went on to win the wild card in 1996 and lose to the Yankees in the ALCS. But in that run, Eddie Murray on September 6, 1996, hit his career home run, number 500, right here in Baltimore.
That particular afternoon, I remember nobody really talked to me, and I came, and the first thing I told Cal, I said, I'm going to do it tonight. And he goes, what? I said, I'm going deep tonight. So we get ready to go out and run our one sprints before the game. Next thing I know, I look up at the scoreboard. I ran my first one. I came back, and they got rip up on the board. September 6th, and I go, oh, hell no. And he goes, yep, you already said it. And then it was raining, you know, so we had a little delay of rain then. I got it in under the 12 o'clock hour, but it was just a feeling. It's tough to hit home run when you know, it was like on stage. They were commanding, wanting me to really do it. And I was like, I can do it. And we could all do it. If we were in the ball game and a guy got us out, we'll come to the dugout. I'm taking him deep the next time, and you would get him. I mean, you had a good feeling about it, but to just say you were going to go up here and hit a home run, that's tough. But when you felt it, you knew something about that particular pitcher.
Now, after the 1996 season, the Orioles felt they had to move Cal Ripken off of shortstop and to third base, his original position in professional baseball. And the Orioles signed free agent shortstop Mike Bordick. Not an easy place to be for Mike Bordick.
Yeah, I mean, he was great. We had some communication before I came over, just about, you know, doing what I had to do for my career, what was best for my family at that time. And I think he may have understood that move was going to go with or without me being involved in it. And I think from the onset, he made me feel comfortable. I'm sure inside he's probably upset about having to go over to third base, but he understood, I think, like everybody on that team, what kind of team they had. The potential of winning another World Series was pretty high then, and it kind of stayed that way for a while. Unfortunately, the Orioles didn't get back there after that 97 season, but it was all about winning. I mean, the stadium was selling out every night, and had a great group of veteran players that were all on the same page in that regard, and I think everybody was on board as far as that goes.
Everyone's experiencing the resurgence of Baltimore baseball. B.J. Sroff makes his home here. He played for the Orioles throughout the late 90s and into the 2000s. Here's B.J. on the resurgence of the Orioles.
I love it. I mean, I've been waiting for it since, as you guys know, I live here, and I've been here since I came here. And I was just telling somebody else, and rightfully so, the Ravens kind of dominate everything. All I saw was purple. But every time you turn on the game, I'm amazed at how much orange and black. I mean, when I drive down the street or go to a store or whatever, and you hear people talking about it, the excitement's back. And to me, I find great joy in that. It makes it a lot more fun to be around and to listen and to follow. And also a lot more fun to be around it when you're with the guys in the lower levels in spring training and whatnot. So it's great for me. I love it. My kids are into it too, so it's even more so.